This is a special occasion in parliamentary democracy.
Members on both sides.
Mr. Speaker, the Labour Party cannot be trusted.
I'd like to now address the House.
Mr. Harbourside Mansion.
Like a game of musical chairs, that's it.
Well, there's been a massive case of I told you so in politics this week as the Royal Commission has lifted the lid on dodgy bank conduct. Annika Smethurst is the National Political Editor for the Sunday Telegraph and the Sunday Herald Sun. Hello.
Hello.
So this has been pretty uncomfortable for the government. Today, Barnaby Joyce coming in. He was just on RN Drive a little earlier saying, I was wrong. And then all these revelations. How have they handled it?
And I would suspect he's actually one of the ones that I guess is... people are accepting. Barnaby has come out and said he was naive, and he's almost apologised for, not for trusting the banks. But some within the government, Scott Morrison being one, is, although he's warning that some of these people could go to jail, he's doubling down. Bill Shorten has said that this should have happened 2 years earlier, and the government should apologise. But the government, some within the government, are saying they got the timing right. Actually, they had other reforms to implement, and they wanted to see enough to get them across the line. But I think any of us that were around, I think it was last December when it came out, will remember that even when they did announce it, they didn't sort of seem to be doing it for any other reason other than the fact they were actually dragged there by a bunch of coalition sort of rebels at the time they were called.
Yeah, they're kind of like, we did the right thing.
In hindsight. And look, some of the, comments are really damning from, Kelly O'Dwyer at the time and Scott Morrison, who, were saying that Labor's calls were reckless and would, affect share prices and would be really, really bad for business. And we saw over last year there was a gradual sort of acceptance that this would happen. Kate Carnell was one of the key people when she sort of came out and she chaired an investigation and said, I was against it, but actually now I'm for it. And slowly we saw a bunch of people line up, but it looks like there's a lot of people saying, I told you so today.
It's a total case of I told you so. All right, live exports. The politics of live exports is getting incredibly complicated. I thought former frontbencher Susan Lee coming out today saying she's going to introduce a private members bill on this was significant in all of this. I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to get up, but it shows that there is a sort of shifting mood here, isn't there?
Yeah, and since the Gillard government spectacularly sort of cancelled it overnight, the beef export during the Gillard government's time, there has been relative bipartisanship here. It's not only today has Labor sort of indicated that they want it to stop during the summer months, and even though they're going to wait for the outcome of this review, which is due in 3 weeks, they do seem to be sort of suggesting that they've already made their minds up with this one, and they don't think that we should have a live sheep trade during the sort of Middle Eastern summer. Susan Lee's sort of addition to this is interesting. I know some cynics within the gallery are saying that this is just her, having a bit of a strong opinion, given now she's on the backbench and sort of pushing her muscle a bit. But I think this is actually something that people, are passionate about. I heard also Labor's Ed Husic today say that it's something that within his electorate he gets a lot of sort of messages about. We've seen Josh Wilson, he's the member for Frio, where these boats were leaving from, come out and say he no longer supports it. So, look, there does seem to be a shifting mood on this one, and I guess the trouble for the government is that, if they've got people within their ranks starting to break away and have private members bill, Jason Ward in Victoria was another one today, that it is going to be difficult for them to come out too strongly.
Yeah, it's getting quite complicated. Of course, tomorrow, just to finish on this note, is the special meeting, Josh Frydenberg and all his energy ministers trying to get some kind of agreement on the National Energy Guarantee. What can we expect?
Look, Josh Frydenberg's confident. He seems to think that he will get most of the Labor and most of the states, and most of them are Labor states now, to sign up to the National Energy Guarantee. He has one more, blue colour in his corner after South Australia went Liberal recently, but he still has to get, WA and Queensland, Victoria, the ACT on board for this. And Victoria seems to be the one holding out. They're not against the National Energy Guarantee, and that is, of course, the sort of renegotiated energy policy after Finkel. It relies on, having dispatchable power whilst also meeting greenhouse gas emissions. It was the sort of one they could only get through the party room. Victoria seems to be holding out a bit. They could just be playing politics on this, to be fair. You know, we know that the Victorian government don't always get along well with the Turnbull government, especially after that budget announcement last week about the Tullamarine train that they weren't exactly aware of. So they've come out and said, look, they agree in principle, but Victoria has their own emissions targets and they really want that written into it as well.
And also the acting Premier in New South Wales has said that he also thinks that the takeover of Liddell, the forced takeover of Liddell, might be a good idea. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's not the first time he's said things that differ from the Prime Minister. We know that he had some sort of fighting words last year saying that he wasn't a good Prime Minister. And look, he's backtracked on some of those.
Didn't he ask him to resign?
I think he said he'd give him till Christmas. He said he didn't have faith. Look, interviewed today, Barilaro did say that perhaps he's changed his mind on that. He said that, you know, the government are doing a little bit better. But, yeah, the Liddell stuff definitely puts him, I guess, in the that Monash group camp that they were calling themselves, that, you know, think that there should be government investment or takeover in that case in the power plant. I don't think that's going to cause Malcolm Turnbull too much headache. He's already got people within his own party sort of calling for similar things. So I don't think he's going to be too worried about the acting New South Wales Premier at this stage.
No, it's not going to lose sleep over that one. Annika, thanks for coming on.
Not a problem.
Annika Smethurst is the National Political Editor for the Sunday Telegraph and the Sunday Herald Sun. Interesting comments by Barilaro, though. He's the acting New South Wales Premier at the moment, the deputy usually, of course. That he thinks that the forced takeover of Liddell might be possibly on the cards if they don't sell it off. What do you make of it? 0418 226 576 is the number. And, of course, tomorrow, the big meeting. It's D-Day. Well, one of the D-Days. They've got another one down the track too, of course, for the final sign-off with all the architecture. But all of the energy ministers getting together with Josh Frydenberg. A lot's at stake for everyone here. Josh Frydenberg really has been between a rock and a hard place on this one, trying to please his backbench, trying to please the states, trying to please everyone and trying to get a deal in between. Let's see if he can pull it off. 0418 226 576.